Blog Talk Radio.
Life, Love, and Wellness.
Love and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. You know, Tuesdays is my favorite day of the week because we get to come together and share with one another and just commune on such an incredible level. So thank you for being a part of this journey with me. I really, really appreciate you. And so, you know, when we invite people into our homes, we always got to do a little extra, right, to make everybody feel welcome. So what we do here on Life, Love, and Wellness is we start off with an inspirational, affirming message, and they're written by me, and they're part of my daily collection at revsandy.wordpress.com. And so we want to just make sure that we exhale and release all of what has happened prior to right this very moment. So this particular message that I'm reading is called Be Involved in Your Life. I am actively involved in my life and affairs. I accept full responsibility for whatever is present today, for I know I have created its existence. I am the master of my fate and the captain of my ship. I declare a thing, and it is so. When the appearance is not what I truly want, I choose differently. My words and thoughts have tremendous power. I think a thing, and it is done. My duty is to keep my mind stayed only on the things I want. I no longer concern myself with what is lacking because I know it was my concentration on them that kept them a part of my reality. I deliberately focus on my desires. They are manifested as I believe. I choose to believe I am worthy to receive from the richness of the universe. I accept God's grace and mercy to guide and direct me. I am involved in making wise choices for myself. My words are positive and life-affirming. My actions are a reflection of my deepest desires. I see that which I desire in its finalized condition. God promised it is done according to our belief. My belief is bound in faith and trust. I know I can have every good thing I desire. I give my full attention to the realization of my dreams. I think on these things. I visualize these things done. That is my job to do, to maintain a positive expectation, and thus it is materialized. I am co-creator with God for my life. I know that just as God has clothed the fields with beautiful, colorful flowers, God surely will clothe me with my desires. I meditate on love, peace, and harmony. I am a vigilant guard of my thoughts, words. I am accountable and responsible for what I do, think, and say. Those actions have a direct effect on situations occurring in my life. This is my life. I design it according to my beliefs. I choose to believe in unlimited goodness, abundant riches, opulent prosperity, magnificent miracles, and unconditional love. I am involved in my life. I actively pursue happiness and harmony. I treasure truth. I completely accept abundance. I pray for peace. I participate in prosperity. This is my life. I create the most magnificent existence possible for myself. Again, that's called Be Involved in Your Life, and that's a part of my collection at RevSandy.wordpress.com. They are delivered every day to your email if that's what you so choose, or you can also get it on Facebook on Sandy Rogers Ministries. So welcome back. And, you know, the next thing that we do is just such a dear part Tuesday night event for me, and it's where we invoke and we invite the love, the energies, the strength, the messages, and whatever our ancestors bring to us, with, and we receive it with such great pride and such great love, because we know that they're the reasons why we stand as tall as we do this day. So ancestors, we salute you, we love you, we appreciate you, and we hold you so dearly in our heart of hearts. And especially on Tuesday nights when we are bound to discuss a little bit about anything. So the ancestors know to be here to protect us. So ancestors, thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you, and we certainly appreciate you. Ashe, ashe, ashe. It's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So tonight's show is called Being Whole with Reverend Dr. Brooke Brim. Now, this sister I just recently met, but she's one of those I feel like I've been knowing all my life. And the more I get to know about her, the more phenomenal she becomes to me. She is just super fantastic. And so she's going to be talking to us about a variety of programs that she offers to the universe. She is a spiritual officiant, a yoga instructor, holistic living counselor, and a wellness facilitator that she wears. So we're going to bring her on shortly and have her to describe herself for us. You know, a lot of times when we do these resumes and things and we try to summarize who we are on a piece of paper, it's not necessarily who we really, really are. So I want to have Brooke to do that, so that we all get to know her the way she wants to be known in a more personal aspect. So I am going to take a quick music break. And audience, you know you're always, always, always welcome to join in the discussion. All comments are welcome, and every voice is heard with complete acceptance, and there's never any judgment here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So to be a part of this discussion, our call-in number is 516-531-9819. You would press 1 to alert me that you want to talk on air. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We'll be right back.
Love lives inside of me.
Inside of Me, and that is actually one of the first records words that I wrote to a song, and my wonderfully talented nephew Anthony A.K. King crafted it into one of the most beautiful songs, honestly, that I've heard, not just because I wrote some of the lyrics, but because it really touches, and it defines, it gives a description of the heart of Brooke, because I was reading in her latest book released, it's called God Love God Herself, Yoga and Mindfulness for Black Women Who Follow the Christ. And in that book, you can just feel how Brooke understands the power that we women have and how we need to celebrate it, and that's what her intention is in the writing of that particular book. And so I played that song to honor Brooke and the work that she's doing out in the universe. And Brooke, you're online with us. Welcome to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Reverend Dr. Brooke.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. I tried some headphones, but obviously they didn't work. So how are you, Sandy?
I'm doing great. You and all of that technology and stuff, see?
I know. You know what? I am so honored that you said you played that song for me, because I was listening to that song. I was like, man, I really love this. I got to get this from Sandy. I got to figure out what song this is. I love it. And then to hear that you wrote the words, I'm just so inspired. I love that song. I'm always, and you know,
well, thank
in my yoga
you.
Class, I'm always looking for good music.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you can get a copy of that without a problem. Well, I'll make sure I get it to you.
Great. Awesome, because
I
definitely love it.
As savvy as you are with, you know, all the gadgets and things. So, but I will, I think I have it on my Facebook page, but we'll make sure that we have it uploaded to you really soon.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it.
So, Brooke, tell us who you are. I read some words, you know, spiritual,
yeah,
yoga instructor and like that, but who are you? Tell us who you are.
Who I am, at the core of my being, I am a helper. You know, I'm here to help people in a myriad of ways, but as of late, it's to help women especially to hear their inner wisdom and their inner voice and to follow it. But, you know, I've been a helper since as early as I can remember. I've helped in a myriad of ways, and that's really what I'm here to do. Some people say that I'm a healer, but I know that I'm not. I am a helper. So I may lead you to your healing or, you know, and what I do might feel healing to you, but I am a helper. And as I said, my main way these days, and I say these days because I don't know when it will ever change. It might switch into something else, but for the last, I would say, 10, 12 years, it has been to help women. This is the way that I help the world because I know that each woman supports about, you know, at least 20 people. So if I can help women, then I know that I'm helping the world. So that is the way that I help
exactly.
these days.
And so your beginning, though, like you have 20-plus years or 30 years being a yoga instructor, how important is that in being able to live to one's fullest extent or, you know, fullest capability?
Well, I haven't been a yoga instructor that long. I have been practicing yoga for 13 years. But I've been a yoga instructor just under 2 years, so it hasn't been that long. But to answer your question, though, yoga for me was an expansion of my spirituality. So it really helped me to stay present by just knowing what's going on with my body and going inside of myself. Yoga allows me to quickly access what's going on inside of Brooke, what's going on with Brooke, keep me present, and help me to realize anything that I might be suppressing or any discomfort that I feel through that mind-body connection. So that's what how yoga is important to me. And that's what I really try to, you know, convey to my students as well.
Yeah, I liked your explanation in the book that as long as you're in yoga, then you don't have any regrets over the past or worries about the future. I like that because I believe that a lot mm-hmm. of us, and including myself in that, we spend a lot of time in that space where we're not enjoying the present moment. And
mm-hmm.
because of something that happened, you know, or something that we're fretting will happen. So it's important because we lose so much by not staying focused in the present moment. So I like that analogy that you use with yoga.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, that is, to me, the key to everything is staying present. You can get through any aspect of life if you stay present. But, you know, if you want to get sidetracked, if you want to be bound, if you want to be weighed down, then, you know, live back in the past. That's the best way to keep you bound or be afraid of what's going to happen in the future. But if you just stay in the present moment, you know, your inner wisdom is there, your source is there, God is there to show you exactly what to do if you stay in the present moment. But if you're, you know, in the past and rehearsing what you should have did, could have did, what happened, how it's changed you, how you'll never be the same, or you're fearing the future, how you don't want to have this to happen again, how you're afraid this won't come through, somebody's going to disappoint you, you can't trust people, all of those things of the future, then that's all chatter that keeps you from being present. And that's what yoga, for me, keeps me very present.
So is that something, well, I know what it is for me, but so is that something that comes up a lot as you're helping people to navigate through life?
Yes. Absolutely. That's all that ever comes up.
Okay.
You know, I have a program that I developed called Release the Un-You and Live as the Real You. So what I consider the real you is the roles that you have played for others or roles that you have developed based on past experiences. And so based on those experiences, you know, from babies, we learn how to navigate our world. And we learn to navigate our world, and there are things that we need to know, like be careful of fire, be careful of water, you know, watch out for sharp objects. There's lots of things that we need to learn in order to navigate through our world. But along the way, we pick up scripts that other people have given us. Don't smile too much. Don't be too happy. Don't be too angry. Don't speak your mind. Don't live your truth. Don't trust yourself. So many different things. And then we start rehearsing those tapes over and over again. And so the program that I developed called Release the Undo is helping us to get at the core of where those tapes came from. So we go back to the past. And we look at it first. We look at our desires. Then we look at the roles that we've played for others. And then we look at how we've been in relationships, how our parents have been. And we start to kind of peel away the things that are not us and understand where the origins came from so that we can live in that in the image of God. You know, in the Bible it says that we were made in the image of God. And if the image that we know of God is that God is, you know, love and justice and peace and understanding and compassion. And a lot of times we can't access that. But if we were made in that image, we have to ask ourselves why we can't access that. And one of the reasons why we can't access that is because we have all this clutter of regrets of the past and fear of the future and the roles that we played and what people expect from us. And that keeps us from hearing our inner wisdom. And he keeps us from remembering the reflection that we are. So in answer to your question, yeah, it comes up a lot.
And that's what I'm saying. I know for me, and I really like to snap out of it, you know, like to catch myself to be monitoring my place, you know, like where am I?
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
We wake up, or I do. I'm not going to talk about we, but Sandy sometimes wakes
mm-hmm.
up and, you know, thinking about all of what I have to do, you know, during the day, but
mm-hmm.
I haven't stopped just to say thank you for the breath that I'm breathing right now, for this
mm-hmm.
new day, for being alive. And I find that when I do that, life is so much easier, and it just seems to flow right along versus, you know, like fighting upstream or something.
Yep, that's part of being present, just remembering to say thank you, being mindful.
Right. So you do a lot of different workshops and outings or retreats. Are they all for women? Is that your, I know you said that's your focus right now, but or everything that you do, is it centered around women? Do you do, like, for mixed, like, couples or families or anything like that, or just
well, none of my, to date, I have a future thought of maybe doing that, but to date, none of my events or retreats or seminars are for couples. Now, my husband and I, we go out to couples' homes and do couples' spiritual counseling. So that's
okay.
The only work that I do that involves men is when I do a couple spiritual counseling, and I still view that as helpful to women.
Well, sure.
It's not that I have anything against men. It's just that I really feel like my calling is with women.
And, you know, we are the ones that bring life into the world. So with your focus being on women, it's a noble one indeed. So I just wanted to make sure that we were, you know, like all understanding just exactly the direction of your work. So tell me about your book, this latest one that you have out, Love God mm-hmm. Herself. How did that title come about in the rest of the title is Love God Herself, Yoga and Mindfulness for Black Women Who Follow the Christ. Explain to us the title and why you wrote the book.
Well, the title is actually a line that I heard in a Beyonce song. I can't remember what song it is. I know the words to the song, but I can't think of the title. But inside of the song,
okay,
she says, "Love God herself." And when I heard it, it just blew me away. It just, you know, really struck a chord. And what I mean by it, when I wrote it, is that, because a lot of people hear the title and they think that I am saying that God is a woman. And that's not necessarily true. What I'm really saying is that there's a space inside of every woman, in every person really, but in this instance, because I'm calling it Love God Herself, there's a space inside of every woman that meets God. And we need to go inside of ourselves to find that space where we and God connect, when you can't tell the difference between yourself and God. And touch that space every day so that, that for me, is your inner wisdom. That is your inner wisdom, and that is your inner guidance. So that's what I mean when I say the words Love God Herself. Go inside of that space where God is meeting you every day. Touch it, connect. Be led by it, become familiar with that voice, and be guided by it,
and love it.
And so, and the more, so if you notice in the book, I talk about how it, from Matthew 22nd, 36-39, Jesus says, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and did I get them all? Yeah. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might.
And all with all your mind.
And that's from the Aramaic version. That it's in the Aramaic Bible that way, in the Cassidic Aramaic. But you would find the same scripture in Mark. Somebody might find it in Mark. In Matthew, it's written that way in the Aramaic. But so it asks you, so I go through the whole process in the book where I explain that if you are clearing out your heart and filling it up with things of God and understanding what's in your mind and filling it up with things of God and releasing the burdens from your mind and from your heart, if you're using all your power and your strength to love God and drawing your power and strength from God and understanding that that's where your strength comes from, if you're also going with inside your soul and touching God, then all of that leads to loving yourself. And then the next part of that scripture that Jesus talked about was loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, the implication there that lots of people miss is that the basis of the love that you give outward starts from you. And that's what Jesus wanted you to get, that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. So it's not like you love your neighbor like you love the air. It's starting from self. And then as you love yourself, that's how you love your neighbor. So you need to start with you. Whereas a lot of people, at least I did, and I think that I'm not alone in this, learned in Sunday school, or in my case it was Sabbath school because I was a Seventh-day Adventist growing up, learned that we're supposed to love God first, others next, and ourselves last.
Right.
From what Jesus said. Jesus said, love God first, love yourself second, and then the way that you love yourself, you love the rest of the world. And I think a lot of people miss that. So we go around feeling like we should put ourselves last, and that's not what Jesus asked us to do.
There's an implication in his words that he expected us to love ourselves first, and then once we get that down pat, then we love outward.
Right.
And then, I feel like a lot of what's wrong with the world today is that we are loving people the way we love ourselves, and that is not very
wow.
Well. So, yeah.
That's such a foreign concept though for a lot of people.
Mhm. I think
of
it
how
is.
We're raised. Yes.
Yeah, because sadly,
religion teaches us a lot of things that are falsehoods and that are just.
And so when we run into the truth and really evaluate the truth, because I'm not making it up, this is what I read in the Bible. I'm not making it up. It's just that someone else laid doctrine on top of what Jesus' words. And so when we come across the truth, it feels foreign because of all the religious doctrine that we've got that in a lot of ways ask us to sell ourselves short and to sell ourselves out. And, you know, that this might be something that a lot of people don't want to hear, but if you truly evaluate some of the Christianity that we've been given, some of the religion that we've been given, it is, a lot of it is designed for us to sell ourselves out and not to realize that we're made in God's image and not to listen to Jesus' words which say, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love yourself first, then love your neighbor. Those are things that get mixed up. And, you know, we get this other doctrine for power, for money, for control of the population, like when we were slaves, you know, to control us.
Exactly.
So in this book, I'm just really inviting black women. I am celebrating that spirituality has gotten us this far in this journey. And it's been, you know, this journey here in America or here in, after the transatlantic slave trade has been a foreign one for us, but spirituality has gotten us this far. And we have used the religion that was given to us by slave masters, and we've made it work for us. And what I'm inviting women to do in this book is to expand their spirituality into self-awareness, yoga, which is more ancient than what we've been given since we came to these shores.
Because there's also a phenomenon that's happening, Sandy, where there's church attendance is down, and it's going down, 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 down. And because church attendance is down, that doesn't mean that our spirituality should be lacking. Now is the time for us, if we don't want to attend services, to take our spirituality into our own hands.
And so that's really what I'm offering women is yoga and mindfulness as a way to expand their spiritual practice. And so I break it down into the different forms of yoga and not just in terms of exercise, you know, because that's what we think of when we think of yoga. But yoga, the different yogas that I describe in the book are like mantra yoga, where you would use like affirmation and maybe lyrics to song to uplift you. And jhana yoga, where you use self-knowledge and study, or raja yoga, where you use meditation. So it's all different kinds of yoga that you can use. Hatha yoga, of course, is the exercise. But I'm just describing different forms of yoga that can be used to bring us into wholeness and fullness.
And it doesn't mean you have to drop
your religion as it is. It's just an expansion of your spirituality.
You touched on that, and so just in your words or your thoughts, why do you think it's such a controversy within the some of the organized religious doctrines? Why do you think that, you know, the yoga or some of the other self modalities that a person can use is not favorably talked about in some of the different faiths? Have you given any thought to that?
Sure. I think that there is not a lot of people would be put out of business if followers followed their inner wisdom. It's the perfect system set up to get your money and to get your allegiance, to get your vote, to get your behavior, to get your power. For you to come every week, listen to what I have to say, be laden with guilt,
Listen to the rhetoric that says you have no power, that you're nothing without confessing, that you are a sinner, and blah, 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 blah. And then if I can get you to believe that every week, then you'll turn over your money, you'll turn over your power, you'll turn over your vote, you'll do what I need you to do. And you know, it originated, I believe, I needed you to work for free. So,
right.
So I needed to use the Bible to keep you working for free. But if more people understood that their spirituality is in their own hands, and it's inside of them, and that God is everywhere and in everything, we would have a different world. But right now we're waiting for what the pastor says, and we just, you know, we're dictated to by what the pastor said this and the pastor said that, and you know, and we go around sometimes beating each other over the head with interpretation and with doctrine and how we feel about X, Y, and Z, or we just check out and come in every week and listen to what the pastor said, feel refreshed, and then go back to checking out all week long, come back on Sunday, check in, get our shot, feel good. By 2 o'clock Sunday it's gone, or Saturday, you know, it's gone, and then you're waiting for your next shot. And what I'm saying is, along the way, instead of waiting for your shot, it's fine. Go to church. Listen. Get inspired. We all do that. It's good. It feels great. You want to hear what someone else's perspective on spirituality. That's awesome. But that should not be your whole experience. You need to get in touch with your breath. You need to get in touch with your words. Know what's going on in your heart. Know what's going on in your mind. Know where your power lies and where you get it from. Know how to love yourself. Take care, you know, self-care practices that contribute to you caring about you. And so there's a whole big business that is devoted towards taking our power away and keeping us in line to control the masses.
I do know that church attendance, from what I see on and what I hear, you know, from talking to different people, is down. Now, I believe that, not that I want to get into a long discussion around it, but just because you brought it up, is that we're not addressing issues at the heart for people. And so for you to come with the program that you've developed, in helping women to get reconnected to their authentic self is extremely important, because, like you say, you know, it's the spirituality. It's not the religious part of it. And I know we sometimes have a problem with understanding what's being said, you know, like, well, the religion – without saying the religion, you'll say, you know, well, I heard my pastor say such and such and such and such. But we, like you said, we're not taught to honor and respect that inner guidance that everyone has. It's not just given to the pastors and the rabbis and the imams. It's given to each and every one of us. And so and from that business part, I agree with you 100%. You know, and it's unfortunate that we would risk a person's livelihood, you know, to that practice of the that whole organized religious system. So, and not all of them are the same. So I did not.
No,
you know,
not
make
everyone
that
is the same.
Category. Right.
I'm definitely not saying that. I mean, because, you know, both you and I are ministers.
Right.
We're both reverend. So I'm definitely not saying that being a member of clergy it automatically makes you, you know, like you're trying to control the masses. But religion is a multi-billion dollar industry.
Yes.
And how does that connect to, you know, you being in the, made in the image of God? That's a gift that we all have for free.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gift we all have for free. It's ours.
Right.
There's no money you have to pay for that.
Right.
So that's just something that we should all keep in mind. That
you're fading out, Brooke.
Am I? I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you. You were just fading out. I didn't want to lose you.
Oh,
all
okay.
Together.
Maybe I had my hand. Okay. Yeah, it's just something that we all need to keep in mind, that we are our inner guidance, that place inside of us where God meets us, is absolutely free. And it's perfectly fine, and it's great, and it's wonderful to attend services and listen to ministers and get inspired, and I think that we should all do it. But it's also more important to connect with your inner being and your inner wisdom,
mm-hmm.
and your inner motivation and the essence of your being for your guidance. Because we're not all guided in the same way. We're not meant to be.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, like, touch back on that just so that people, and if anyone have a question, again, you know, you're welcome to chime in on this discussion. If you're not on the line, if you've not called in, our call-in number is 516-531-9819. And if you're already on the line, on the call, you can just press 1 to let us know you want to speak live on air. If whatever we're talking about, you know, that's bringing up some thoughts for you and you would like for Brooke to address them, please feel free to let us know and give us what, you know, what you have to say. Contribute to the conversation. So, and I'm loving this, Brooke, because this is exactly what we do on this show, because a lot of times we don't talk about religion. And mm-hmm. it's interesting because I just heard someone within the last couple of days say something like, well, I don't argue with anybody about their religion and their politics. And I was like, huh, that's really interesting, because that's been one of those sayings that's been passed down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't mm-hmm. think anybody's really paid attention to what that does, right? Because
right.
It locks you down. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It,
and so
it shuts down. It shuts down opportunities for us to share and to expand and to grow by sharing with each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly for women, because, again, you know, and you guys have got to get Dr. Brooke's book, Love God Herself, Yoga and Mindfulness for Black Women Who Follow the Christ. You talk in that, in your book, and I believe it was like maybe in the introduction when you were setting up the thought processes for behind the book, you know, how many other entities we carry around with us, you know, how many individuals or jobs and all of that, you know, that comes before we take care of ourselves. And, you know, it's no
right.
wonder that we're in this state where, you know, we have no love, no nothing left for ourselves. So
right.
can you speak a little bit about that? Because I really liked how you addressed that.
Well, I don't remember exactly what page it's on, but in the book, I believe
yeah.
that I talked about how the expectation for Black women, once we came to these shores, is that we were supposed to put away our own feelings, our own self-care, our own emotions, stuff it down, put it aside so that we could take care of the white man's belongings. And that is his wife, his home, his business, our home, our children, you know, belong to him. And that is was our main job. You know, the black man had a different role, but our main job was to, the expectation for us is that we put away anything that related to our feelings, our care, anything that our desires, our wants, stuff that, throw that aside so that we could be about the business of taking care of the white man's possessions and the white man's business, his home, his wife, his children, our spouse, our children, just keep the white man on track. And so now, you know, slavery is over, Jim Crow is over, and we now have a choice of who we keep on track and what we're here to do and how we live our purpose. But because we have this old pattern and this old expectation, this old role that has been placed on us for centuries, we see that it's there. We know it's time to throw it off. And now I'm inviting us to do just that. Like, I think intuitively we know it's time to throw it off, but I'm not exactly sure that we know the pathway to do it. So we're getting there. Black women are getting more education than ever before. You know, we've always carried America through our spirituality and through our ingenuity and through our wisdom and our love. And now it's time to take all of that and put it into ourselves. And so I'm here hoping to bridge that gap and to show us that it's okay now to drop all the burden. We're not in danger. We're not in the same danger that we were in, that if we didn't put our desires and our emotions aside, that we could die. We're not in that space anymore. We're in a space now that we can take care of ourselves, that we can live our purpose, that we can give our children all the love that they need in loving ways, and that we can love all the people around us and love ourselves. That's the space that we're in now. So now it's time for us to drop the role that has been expected of us and walk in a new space. So in the way that I wrote the book is exactly the way that I, when I work with clients individually or when I work with groups, I invite those clients and those groups to examine the role that has been placed upon you and then decide if you still need it. And so that's what I'm doing. Book as well is inviting black women on a larger scale to examine the role that has been given to us, because we realize something's not right. We know something's not right. But I think that we might not be examining that it's time to throw off what's been given to us. We can let it go now. We can take care of ourselves. We're not going to die if we don't. As a matter of fact, the opposite is happening. We're dying because we don't. But, you know, during slavery, we died if we thought of ourselves, if we thought of our own emotions, if we thought of our what we needed and what we wanted. If we put ourselves first, we could die. But now it's the opposite is true. It's time to throw that off and know that we're dying because we're still living with old patterns.
I love that you acknowledge how the origin of the pain and the heaviness that we carry with us, because sometimes we're not even aware of what it is, and we just feel heavy, you know, for like no apparent reason. We think, you know, we got everything in order in our lives. We're doing what people told us to do, you know, like go to school, get an education, get, you know, a good job and get married and have children, but there's still something that is missing. And so I thank you for inviting women to the table to be able to lay their burdens down and to have a conversation about it, because we're not doing that either, you know, in our communities. We're not talking about it. It's just it's like slowly suffocating us, and we don't have the words to say to save ourselves. So I thank you. Personally, I thank you for the tremendous work that you're doing to help sisters to come up, you know, get over all of that. So, yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I mean, I feel pretty thankful that this work is coming through me because, you know, when I work with women, when I work with, because I mostly work with black women, when I work with women, I always see a tremendous change. And some amazing things happen from the women that I've spent time with and that I've worked with. I see some amazing things happen when we realize that we can drop, that we can stop playing roles for other people, that we can release the expectations that other people have for us. Just amazing things start to happen. So I feel humbled and thankful that this work comes through me and that I'm entrusted with it.
Yes, because you have a welcoming program, because I can imagine approaching that and wanting to rectify it can be a pretty doggone scary situation you would find yourself in, because all you have, now that's one of those times, you know, where looking back would really be a good thing, you know, to discover that, you know, it was your great-grandma, your grandma, your mother, you know, and it's just been passed down. And not to say that they were weak women, because that is definitely not the situation, but it was situations beyond their control that allowed them to live the way that they did, or forced them to live in the way that they did to some extent. And so to be able to step into our power in 2018, and I know the ancestors are smiling down on us tonight. You know, it's like, yes.
Because they, not only did they, our ancestors, they used every bit of what they had to bring us this far. They did that to bring us this far. You know, they did everything they could do in the hopes that we'd be where we are. So now we need to actually live in it and be that, you know. We don't need to be who they were. We need to be who they hoped we would be, you know?
Yes.
They don't want us to do what they did. They had to eat chitlins. Mm-hmm. They had to, you know, do whatever they had to do. But they don't want us to do that. They had a hope for us. We need to live in the fullness of that. They wanted us to eat fresh vegetables and to have the time to sit and think and meditate and not have to be called to work all the time, to be creative and to live in our purpose and to love on each other and just share and celebrate each other. You know, that's what they wanted. And now is the time for us to live in that fullness and not live in shackles that they had. There's no need for us to live in the shackles that they had to endure.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully said. Oof. You gave us a lot to think of. We're going to take a short break for you guys to get your comments together that you would like to share with us. Our call number is 516-531-9819. Just press 1 to let us know you're live on air. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. And, man, this topic tonight is for everyone to hear. Although it may be directly at the women, it's for men, too, because men need to understand the role that we've played and have been forced into playing for all of this time, and understand what Brooke is telling us about coming out of that. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Buy me diamonds. not your soul, but a soul that you know she is worth your time. You will lose if you choose to refuse to put her first. She will if she can find a man who knows her worth.
Woman's Worth by Alicia Keys, and that's what Reverend Dr. Brooke Brim has been talking to us about tonight on the show, is in the scripturally based what she's telling us, and she is hoping, not hoping, she is giving us lessons to apply to our lives, especially black women, so that we get to a point of appreciating and honoring the fullness of who we are in a way to honor our ancestors and particularly our female ancestors that had other roles to play where they were not allowed or not able, did not have the freedom to honor themselves. And so Brooke is, Dr. Brooke, is a spiritual officiant. She's a yoga instructor, holistic living counselor, and a wellness facilitator. She's an author, and she has a couple more other titles to where we can probably tap on to that. So she comes to us willing, a willing vessel to just open up and share her dreams for the world and how she's aiding that. And so let me give you a couple of insights that was shared by Dr. Brim. So her newest book is called Love God Herself, Yoga and Mindfulness for Black Women Who Follow the Christ. And it demystifies yoga and mindfulness and offers it as a practice to expand the black spiritual woman's experience in healing, forgiveness, and clarity. She has another program that really sounded so yummy. It was called Release the Un-You and Live the Real You. And so she's talking to us from a place of sometimes this get locked down in those deep, deep, dark crevices of our soul where we think we'll never have to retrieve them and to deal with them. But in order, like she said, in order for us to love other people, we first need to know how to love ourselves. We must love ourselves first, not need to know, but we must actually do that loving upon ourselves. And so Dr. Brim has been just giving the historical viewpoint of why we are where we are. And so she is such a beautiful spirit to be sharing with us. Her website is Brooke Brim, that's B-R-O-O-K-E, Brim, B-R-I-M-M.com. And so you can check her out there as well. She's on Facebook. So she's going to give you all of that information, but I just wanted to give that to you right there. Brooke, could you, I know you have one other signature program called Daddy Resolution, a spiritual examination for women. Can you also touch on that for us? That may, I'm sure, jog some emotions for people.
Well, most African Americans in this country have abandonment issues, whether we were raised with our family, our daddy, our father in our home or not. And we have abandonment issues because of being ripped from Africa. So it's just in our DNA. So that can become sort of a cycle. So our fathers may have been in our home. We might not have had our fathers in our homes. We may know him. We may not know him. But he carried that abandonment issue that we also carry. And so in your father, for a little girl or for a woman, your father is that image of who you want to love, of your opposite sex, of who you will be attracted to. And a lot of us have seen shown up in our lives men that may represent the shadows of our father. And it hinders us. And it keeps us from moving forward. Not just the men that we choose to marry, but also just having abandonment issues, not feeling valuable by a daddy. You know, it's very important for children to feel valuable by their daddy. Now, of course, your mother, especially if she breastfed you, you're going to have that connection with her automatically. You know, she's probably going to hold you more. Even if she didn't breastfeed you, she's going to hold you more. She's going to feed you more. She's just going to be there. So the connection with your mother is like something more automatic and something that a lot of us just take for granted, and it's just there. Most of us have it, and it's just there, and we just take it for granted. That relationship that you have with your father is sort of one that proves to you that you're of value, because he can kind of either take you or leave you. You know what I mean? He doesn't necessarily have the hormonal draws that your mother has to you. Your mother actually have hormones that makes her want to nurture you and love you. Your father doesn't necessarily have those hormones. He can have some hormonal relief from loving you, but
not in the same way that your mother does. So having that love from your father is sort of like a signal to a child that, hey, I really am valuable. I really do mean something. It's not just out of obligation, but that's like the icing on the cake, that I am valuable. And if we didn't get that, and lots of us haven't, not just black women, people all over the world just haven't gotten. A lot of times they don't always get what they need from their fathers. And so this program is really just about examining how you've navigated through the world based on the feelings that you got, the feelings or the lack of feelings, the support or lack of the support that you got from your father, and just the ways that you have thought, behaved, believed, and then just kind of coming to a resolution through understanding and being able to move on from there. So it's not about necessarily bemoaning who you had as a father. It's not about asking him for more, not about wishing that you had more. It's just kind of like understanding who you've been and how you developed in the space of his shadows, if he had them, and how that has affected your life. And then just kind of coming to a resolution so that if you have a wound related to your father, you can kind of heal it, close it up and heal it. So that's what that program is really about.
Yeah, that's powerful. And so do you only do work with people locally here in Atlanta, or do you do distant work? Or
oh, no, I do online classes. You know, I work with people individually, online. You can call me. You know, we can have a session, a video session or a phone session if you want individually. I do also online groups sometimes if I get enough people. And it really just takes a group of maybe three for me to form a group. And I'll work online on a long-term basis with, you know, we do video chat and we work together as a group. Also, I've had people to come to my retreat. They come from all over America. So far, I've only had retreats in Georgia, but I will be having one in New Mexico coming up in November. That's going to be the first one that I do outside of Georgia. But I have had people to come from other parts of America to come to my retreat. So I'm not just restricted to Atlanta. It's like you said, you can reach me through my website, brookbrynn.com. You can reach me on Instagram, again, under brookbrynn, Facebook. You can message me if you want to work together. So I'm here, you know, and I'm available. And, of course, you know, I've written two books. And both of those are for women, black women in particular. On the second book, I actually call out the name Black Women. On the first book, it's called Love Gumbo, Ingredients for a Loving and Lasting Relationship. It was written for the black woman audience, although it doesn't say that. So those are ways also to kind of get in touch with my work. You can look at on YouTube and get in touch with my work. It's lots of ways to get in touch with my work that are paid and free. So, you know, if you want to work with me personally, of course, that would be paid. But if you just want to understand my work and hear my words and hear my message, you know, my ebook expensive $5.99, $7.99, or you can listen to videos on Instagram or on YouTube. And every summer, I'll be starting this in May. I do a free group, a free Release the Young You group, which is a $600 value. I do that for girls who are about 16 to about 22, just to help them with their development, because I think at that age it's a really good time to start self-discovery and understanding who you are, self-exploration.
Awesome.
So I'll be starting that one in May, and for that is a open to anyone, any girl who's in Atlanta, Georgia. If you're listening and you want your daughter, she's in that age range, and you want her to join the group. It's about an 8-week commitment, we go throughout the summer, but it's really good for girls who are in college or maybe who start in college or who are, you know, struggling with high school. They're that age 16 to 22, really 15 to 25 is the age of adolescence, and it's very, you know, tumultuous. It's a good time to do self-discovery. So I offer that class for free.
That's great. So will they be actually meeting face-to-face for 8 weeks, or
yes.
is that going to be online? There will be? Okay.
Yeah, it's a face-to-face group here at my home. I'm willing to bring in online participants, you know, who could join us via video chat. I'm willing to do that, but usually it's a face-to-face. But, you know, if there is there's a questionnaire that they fill out first, and then they also do a post-questionnaire. So, you know, if there is anybody who is remote and they want to join us by video chat, I'm willing to have them to join the group, just as long as they commit to doing the 8 weeks with it.
Okay. Yeah, because our young ladies are faced with so many character assassinations, you know, just from the music to the beauty industry, you know, making it appear that, you know, there are certain things that you must have that are not natural for you to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. You've got to put this stuff on and you got to wear it. And, you know, the self-esteem is not where it should be. And so that I can see could be very, very helpful with your program, Dr. Brooke, where, you know, a person can come in, a young lady can come in and be able to sit down with her peers and come to mm-hmm. some type of conclusion or, you know, a different way to look at things, because what they have is social media. And social media say,
mm-hmm.
well, that's pretty, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Again, I'm just very thankful that you do what you're doing and that you're impacting the lives of so many women and thus families and the community. So thank you again. It's really important, and we sit in silence with our pains and you know, our hearts are just aching and breaking because we feel we have no one to talk to and no one would understand us because mama and them were so strong and they, you know, they were able to get through all of it, and they never complained. But we don't know,
yeah.
you know, what that did to them either, you know.
Mhm. Yes.
Because you said it earlier, they wanted better for us, you know. So that's I believe that's part of the reason why they didn't do the complaining and, you know, the moaning and groaning about what was going on for real, you know.
Mhm.
So what else is coming forward from you?
What else is coming forward for me? Well, I'm focusing on, I have a retreat coming up in June the 22nd through the 24th. It's in the North Georgia Mountains. I have a few spaces left on that, and that those retreats we usually do some jewelry design, we do some self discovery. I do all the cooking, we do yoga and we just kind of relax. There's a hot tub and fire pit. We just relax and we do self discovery work in a very fun environment, with a lot of laughter and some tears and great sisterhood and celebrating each other. So that's coming up in June. The deadline to put a deposit down on that is at the end of the week.
So if anybody's interested in that, they would need to put that deposit down quickly. We have a few spaces left. And then I have another retreat that's coming up in the first week of November, I believe. It's in New Mexico. And that one's going to be a longer. That one's going to be for 5 days. And it is focused on my first book, Love Gumbo Ingredients for a Loving and Lasting Relationship. And what that one is called is the I Am Love Retreat. And it is going to facilitate women who are looking for a new partnership, looking to explore the ending of a partnership, looking to just look at who they've been as a partner. So it's not necessary that you will walk away and be ready to be a partner. You might walk away and say, hey, I like who I am, and I'm not going to let society tell me I need to partner up. You know, but it's really just examining who you've been as a partner. And if you walk away ready for partnership, then so be it. If you walk away able to have closure for something, you know, for a relationship that you had, so be it. If you walk away feeling like, hey, I like being single, this feels good to me, so be it. So that's what that retreat is about. And, yeah, I have a book signing coming up in the summer. And, you know, I always have various parties for women, waist bead making party, bath and body making party. So, of course, I'll have events like that coming up. But mostly I've just been focusing on retreats and promoting my book. And, of course, I still do weddings and spiritual counseling and spiritual couples counseling. And, of course, I'm going to have that group this summer with the young ladies.
Right, right. So, again, the audience can get in contact with you. How?
You can go to brookbrimm.com, and that's BrookeBrimm, as in Mary, .com. And you can contact me there, or you can go to Instagram under the same name, Brooke Brimm. You can contact me there. Facebook, I have two groups on Facebook, one called The Holistic Place, and that one is for men and for women. So there, see, I do work with men, Sandy. In that group. Currently we're having a meatless challenge in that group. And then I also have another group that's called the Metaphysical Black Women's Group, and, you know, you can join there. Now, of course, you can find the links to these groups on my Instagram, on the profile link, or on my website. And just, you can find the links to anything that I'm talking about on my website. It's all there. I update it regularly.
Well, thank you much. So talk to us about this food. What style of food preparation are you into? And do you teach food prep? Or do you just prepare it and serve it at your different functions? So tell us, go into that for us.
Well, I have a workshop I teach yoga, and that's something that we haven't talked about here, but I guess we did talk about it a little bit in the beginning. So sometimes when I may do a workshop where it's called like Yoga and Yummy or Inner Beats and Good Eats, where I prepare a vegan meal, plant-based meal, and we do about 30 minutes of either movement, meditation, or yoga. And during that workshop, I will also give participants quick tips on how to eat more plant-based. I am not 100% plant-based. I am a pescatarian, so I'm about probably 85-90%. Plant-based. I don't eat dairy. I don't eat eggs. And, you know, I spent off and on since 1991. I've been in various stages of either pescatarian, vegetarian, vegan, raw, you know, always trying to get more and more plants into my body. So since 1991, I've been in all different kinds of stages. And right now I'm in the pescatarian stage without dairy and without eggs.
So when a person comes to my retreat, I don't do any teaching of how to prepare food, but I do more like exposure. So a lot of times people who come to my retreat might not have enjoyed guacamole before, or they've never had like a very fresh corn salsa, or I make very, you know, from scratch apple butter and from scratch apricot preserves and things like that. I really put a lot of love and attention into the food that I am feeding the women on my retreats, because I feel like part of the ministry is the love that I give them, and part of the feeding that they need is not just the feeding of their soul, but, you know, good feeding of their bellies, like not synthetic food, but good, fresh, you know, from scratch food. So that's just a big aspect of what I do as well. I also make bath and body products, and that's the same thing. It's aromatherapy to nourish the woman's soul and spirit, uplift her emotions. So I mix various bath and body products for that purpose, for emotional upliftment, or emotional enhancement.
And you say you make jewelry at the retreats as well? That's part
yes.
of the that exercise too?
Mm-hmm. I have been a jewelry designer since 2003. So I make various
okay.
forms of jewelry, all kinds of clays and precious metal clay and polymer clay and beads and resin and all different kinds of form of jewelry. I make a lot of affirmation jewelry. I make personalized jewelry for clients who just need a symbol while they're going through their journey. So sometimes I'll make personalized affirmation jewelry. I'll pray into it and add high vibrational stones or salt or something to lift their vibration. So I have, during retreats and personal parties at my home, I teach women how to design their own jewelry and do things that are, you know, make pieces that are personal to them. So, you know, when I have things at my home, we just have sangria and food that I make from scratch, and we just sit around and have a good time beading up maybe waist beads or earrings or anklets or whatever feels good, and just having a really great time.
So when I do
retreats, I have done what I call cathartic clay making jewelry, where we work through difficulties, sort of like the roles that we've played for other people. We work that through we use the clay to help us with our activity, and then we transmute that clay and that energy into a positive affirmation about ourselves. And so it turns out to be a piece that symbolizes the truth of our being. So that's a class that I do as well. So most of the activities that I do, I use many, many different modalities to help people get in touch with their inner wisdom and their inner guidance. And so there's so many ways to do that in a ministry, through aromatherapy, through jewelry design, through journaling, through affirmations, through music. I make playlists for my clients that they can use through their healing. Through inner beat movement is a program that I developed. It's movement meditation through yoga. So I use many, many modalities to encourage my clients to get in touch with their inner being. Because, you know, we can do that through creativity, through raising our vibration with scent, and through herbs and through crystals and music. It's just so many ways. And I truly believe that when we find the ways that uplift us, that we should use them. And they don't always stay the same. So what worked for you 5 years ago may not be what's working for you now. And the only way that you know what modalities work for you now is that you're constantly getting in touch with yourself.
You have just been such a delight, and I'm so thankful that you had time in your busy schedule from all that you do. Would you like to take the opportunity to tell them about yoga? Take a couple of minutes and do that. We're right at the end of the program, but if you would like to say more about yoga, you're free to do that. You're welcome to do that.
Well, the only thing that I would say about yoga is that if we're talking about hatha yoga, which is the physical aspect of yoga, which I think is a good way to keep you present, don't choose a yoga that is challenging. Don't choose one that hurts. Don't choose one that doesn't feel good for your body. Choose something gentle. Don't get into a class where you're competing or you're showing off for the instructor or the instructor showing off for you. I mean, because that's the thing, you know. It's a lot of yoga classes that are very superficial and vapid, and you walk away feeling like, okay, what was that? And that's yoga is meant to, well, the yoga that I teach and what the yoga that's important to me is meant to release you, relax you, refocus you, recenter you, and all the rest of that is not important. Now, if it's important to you, then go for it. But I suggest, you know, that the listeners try out different yoga classes and see what resonates with their spirit. And the way that you find out what resonates is that you try different instructors, times, places, and then you'll start to understand what feels good for you.
And Dr. Brooke has an amazing yoga class. It is absolutely outstanding. I am so thankful that
Thank
I found
you.
That. Really, really
Thank you
wonderful.
So much, Sandy. I appreciate it. I try.
All right, so once again, we've got Reverend Dr. Brooke Brim, and you can reach her at her website is Brooke Brim, BrookeBrimm, as in Mary.com, Brooke Brim on Instagram, YouTube, and she has some pages also on Facebook. That's what I was trying to get out. So check her out, support her, get continuing education in the fields that she was talking about tonight to liberate yourself, to free your spirit from any traumas or generational issues that may be still plaguing you. So, you know, it's our job, women, to make sure that we are taking care and loving massively on ourselves. So Dr. Brooke has given us some examples and reasons why and some very therapeutic information. So, again, Brooke, I appreciate you just so thoroughly, so fully, for taking the time with us tonight.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And I will see you guys next Tuesday. Say that again.
I said thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. And we're out. We'll see you next week, you guys, same time. Thank you for being with us.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.